Folks, we're going to get started here. We do not have quorum yet, but once we get quorum, I will pause Chair Davids and take care of it at that point. But members, and we'll move the minutes at that time, too. So the first bill that we're going to consider is House File 1234. And until we get quorum, Chair Davids, do you want to describe your bill, please?
That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 1234 is the First Time Home Buyer Savings Account Act. House File 1234 is supported by the Minnesota Realtors, Builder Association of the Twin Cities, the bankers, and the credit unions. Did I say and the credit unions? Anytime you get the bankers and credit unions together on something, I would just get out of the way and let's do it. The purpose of the bill is to support and encourage first-time home buyers by providing a tax incentive that rewards saving for a down payment to buy a first home. There are a lot of pressures on family budgets, like the student loan issue I've been working on, that makes it difficult for a first-time home. This bill creates an incentive to save by exempting the contributions to and interest earned on the first-time home buyer savings account. Money from the account can be used by a first-time home buyer for down payment and closing costs. I have several people here that are resources, Madam Chair. If members would have questions, otherwise, that's the bill that you have before us.
Thank you,
before Chair.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Members, the reason that this bill is before our committee is it does require on page 9 of the bill, section 11, an appropriation to the Commissioner of Revenue on it. And, Chair Davids, I don't know if you have an estimate yet, or is that something that you guys are still in the process of working on, or...
I do not see an estimate yet. Is there one?
Ms. Roberts.
I think Ms. Roberts was working on one.
Madam Chair, there's a preliminary fiscal note. I think it's being duplicated right now, and it has not been Department of Revenue has entered their information. It hasn't been signed off on by management and budget, but there is department staff here if you would like to have them talk about the impact.
Okay. Before we do that, Chair Davids, we do have quorum right now. I'm going to call the committee officially to order. Members, in your packets, you have the minutes for March 2nd. Representative Uglum, you want to move the minutes for March 2nd?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll move the minutes for March 2nd.
Representative Uglum moves the minutes for March 2nd. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, I am going to move House File 1234 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus State Government Finance Bill. And if, Chair Davids, I don't know if you want your resource to say anything or if you'd rather have the department come down and speak.
Well, my resources are here for questions.
Okay.
And if the department would like to make a few comments on the numbers, that would be fine with me.
Okay. I think that would just be helpful if they can just give us the quick numbers and then we can move on from there. Mr.
Thank
Square?
You.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, for the record, my name is Pete Square. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Administration at the Department of Revenue. We do have a fiscal note. It is in preliminary status in the fiscal note tracking system. The preliminary numbers are just over $1 million for fiscal 18. I'll explain that a little bit in that this bill provides administratively challenging processes for us that we're not typically administering. Creates a program where we register account holders, we register account numbers, we register their beneficiaries. We're not in that typical business. We're in the business of processing tax subsidies or tax credits. This bill does have a subtraction in it. That seems to be the easy part of the bill for us to administer. So we're working through the fiscal note with MMB to ensure that we have good numbers for administration and that we have sound practices administering this bill.
Okay. Members, any questions for Mr. Square at this point? Chair Davids, any other comments that you want to add?
I would just appreciate your support, Madam Chair, and members.
Okay. And Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Davids, I'm glad you're bringing this bill forward. It's what a great concept and effort. I don't know if are you wrapping up, or is this kind of the end?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. So I was just curious why it seems like it might need to go to taxes, but maybe not. And then the other question is, I just think it's a great idea. I can't quite figure out why it doesn't, like, go on its own, just because it just seems like it could pass on its own merits on the House floor pretty strongly. But, you know, we have a problem in our state and country where people just aren't able to save money, and to buy homes, and I think that's a very vital part of our economy, and that people are able to move into housing and keep the economy strong. But I think this is a great idea, and just a couple questions. But
well, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Lilly. As Chair Anderson pointed out earlier, there are costs to the Department of Revenue that would be funded through this committee, first of all. Second of all, you know, whatever gets worked out here, I mean, yes, we could handle the tax bill. Chair Anderson is correct in her comments on the cost coming through being financed by this committee for the department, which makes sense. The reason I would not want it to go alone is because then it becomes applicable to any tax amendments, and that can get a little problematic at times. So we like to put them in bigger bills, and we'll have that. I'll have discussions with Chair Anderson as we go along here, because with this in there, one could technically argue that tax amendments would be germane, but we'll get that figured out.
Representative Holden?
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Thank you, Chair Davids. I think that's great. It's a great bill.
And Ms. Roberts, do you just want to highlight a little bit about the preliminary fiscal note that we have before us?
Madam Chair and members, you can see the estimated cost for fiscal year 2018 is $946,000. And then when the program is fully implemented in the next year, just over $1 million, and that would be for 11 FTE. And the narrative discusses some of the needs for the staff, including a need to upgrade the integrated tax system. They need staff to develop program guidelines, forms, and reporting requirements, additional phone staff, additional staff to ensure contributions to a qualifying account. And then there's some further discussion, and there's a table on the last page of the fiscal note, page 3, that shows the breakdown for the various costs, which are primarily staff costs.
And Chair Davids, did you have any comments on the preliminary fiscal note at all? Or?
Yes, this is a program that it is going to cost something to get going. But what the program does is, I think that many costs would be offset because you would have more people buying homes, more people in homes paying, whether it be property taxes or various taxes. But I understand how we need to do the scoring here, and so. Seems a little high to me, but I'll work with the department on that.
Okay. Members, any other questions? If not, I renew my motion that House File 1234 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus State Government Finance Bill. Thank you, Chair Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And we've got Representative Drozdowski. We're going to do you next.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Welcome, Chair Drozdowski. I am going to move House File 586 at this moment. If you want to just walk us through your bill, please.
Will do, Madam Chair. Members, House File 586 is a bill that was in the omnibus tax bill, House File 848, that passed the House in 2015. This time it's actually a bipartisan bill. And what it does is addresses the issue of how to deal with property taxes in the face of the large amounts of land that are purchased from both the legacy fund and the LCCMR dollars each year. And members, when the legacy bill was passed, I don't think Minnesotans anticipated that it was going to encumber people with a property tax hike, nor did they anticipate that it would be a hike in the cost of PILT to the general fund. So what this does, Madam Chair and members, is it creates a mechanism for which dollars from the legacy fund or the LCCMR fund, depending on where the land is purchased from, will be used to pay the property taxes on that land into perpetuity, and it's done so in a way that is adequate and in a way that is accurate. That's the bill in a nutshell, Madam Chair, and Ms. Dalton is here to provide us with any overview of the bill that you'd like.
Okay. Ms. Roberts, do you want to walk us through the fiscal note as Ms. Dalton gets settled in?
Madam Chair and members, you can see on the front page of the fiscal note that the lead agency for the fiscal note is DNR, and those there are some costs being shown on the front page of the fiscal note for the Department of Natural Resources, and those, of course, that department's not under the jurisdiction of this committee. At this point, we have a preliminary fiscal note, and so the three other agencies listed are under the purview of this committee. I checked before committee, and we didn't have any information submitted for the Department of Revenue, so I don't know if anything's been entered for that. But if you turn to page 10, you'll see the portion for the State Board of Investment for their duties under this bill. And they are showing actually less than $1,000 for the cost that they would incur to invest, manage the assets.
Okay. And Ms. Dalton, did you have anything you wanted to add or any questions that might arise?
Madam Chair, I'm just here to answer any questions.
Okay. Is there Mr. Square, is he still here at all? Is there anybody from the Department of Revenue still? How about SBI? And MMB? Maybe we will be able to get them, but I do see Mr. Ken Sulem. You want to come forward and testify? Welcome to the committee. If you can please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ken Sulem with the Minnesota Association of Townships. And I'm here in full support of House File 586. As a means of addressing the concerns of local government that when property is acquired and taken off the tax rolls, we are kept whole. This bill accomplishes that in a manner that there'd be no winners and losers because we'd be reimbursed strictly what the tax for the property would be for that any particular year. As far as the concerns of this committee, we are working with MMB and the State Board of Investments. As you indicate on the fiscal note, SBI expects their costs to be very, very nominal. The way this is structured is that the counties, as part of what they do already for property tax, would process what the amount for these lands would be. They'd certify it to the point where MMB would make a deposit, a once-year deposit with SBI, and the Department of Revenue would make a once-year withdrawal in the amount of those property taxes that the counties are already assessing. So it should be very, very pass-through expenses. Much of it will be offset as far as the state's budget by the savings of not paying additional PILT payments on these lands because there would be the funds coming as provided from the Legacy and Outdoor Heritage account rather than relying on general funds. So there should be a significant offset in savings when you look at what would be paid out in PILT dollars that will be saved by going with this approach. With that, I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sulem. Any questions for Mr. Sulem at this point? Thank you. Mr. Hilgart, you want to come to the table? And then I've got Susan Damon. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members of the committee, my name is Matt Hilgart. I represent the Association of Minnesota Counties. AMC represents all 87 counties in the state of Minnesota. I would just quickly echo Mr. Sulem's remarks made earlier. We support this measure and thank Representative Draskowski for his work on this over the last 2 years. For us, this is about sustainability in the PILT system going forward. So thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Members, any questions for Mr. Hilgart? Thank you, Mr. Hilgart. We've got Ms. Damon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the committee. If you can please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Thank you. Susan Damon, Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Land Acquisition and Legal Services Manager in the Division of Lands and Minerals. We have some concerns with this bill. We have worked on the fiscal note on this preliminary fiscal note. Our DNR Division of Lands and Minerals does the PILT calculation using our land record system, and we combine that with the payment rates and all of the acreages, do that calculation, and then provide that information to the Department of Revenue, transfer an open appropriation that comes to the DNR to Department of Revenue to actually make the payments. This bill would create a dual system for payment in lieu of taxes that would only impact a very small percentage of the acres that get PILT payments overall and add a layer of complexity to the program. Some of the lands that would receive this one-time trust fund payment would also still be eligible for a partial PILT payment, so it doesn't entirely take them out of the system if less than 90% of Outdoor Heritage or Environmental Natural Resources Trust Fund funding were used for the acquisition. Our preliminary fiscal note shows minimal savings, actually, to the general fund. We're estimating it would be about $67,000 a year starting in fiscal 20. The impacts to the combined Outdoor Heritage Fund and Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund would be approximately $2.9 million a year. And that is in the text section of the fiscal note. We worked with the Department of Revenue to calculate those amounts.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Thiemann. I will tell members, on the fiscal side that is dealing with the DNR, that's not under our purview. The only items that are under our purview is the SBI, MMB, and the Department of Revenue. And so we don't have that. I did want to ask Chair Joskowski, though. You said this was part of the tax bill last year. Did those agencies, the SBI, Revenue, MMB, have any costs for you at that point?
Madam Chair, I don't remember. So if there was, it wasn't something that stuck for sure.
Okay. All right. Members, any questions for Ms. Thiemann? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Thiemann, you were talking about the fact that this is only a small amount of land that's going to be affected because it doesn't go backwards on the amount purchased, only forwards. But when I was looking through the estimations for land that's going to be purchased, specifically with legacy dollars and different aspects, is that it looks like it's going to increase by maybe five times. So was that in your calculations as you look forward into the effects?
Ms. Damon?
Madam Chair, Representative Green, in doing the calculations, we estimated that there would be approximately 7,000 acres of land acquired per year that would be eligible for this new trust fund approach to PILT.
Representative Green?
Well, I'm going to have to go back and check my records because it looked significantly more than that, because I have the printout. Unfortunately, I didn't think we'd be dealing with DNR, and I guess we're really not here, so I won't continue to question you, but it looked like it was substantially more than that from the papers I received from your office.
Ms. Damon? Any comment or no?
No comment. I would have to go back and compare what papers he is asking about.
Representative Driscoll?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I'm going to start with a question with Ms. Roberts, if I could.
Are you done? You chose not to?
No, I said I would like to start my question with Ms. Roberts, and I just want to make sure that she was ready.
Oh, sure.
That we were ready.
Yep. Go ahead.
Ms. Roberts, can you tell me where the funding for this, fund that Chair Joskowski is talking about, the funds being used, what's the source for those funds?
Ms. Roberts. Ms. Dalton. Ms. Roberts, can you repeat the question? Or Representative Driscoll?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just questioning where the funds are coming from to create the trust fund that Chair Driscoll was talking about.
Ms. Roberts, or Ms. Dalton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Pat Dalton with House Research. The money is coming out of the Legacy Trust Fund and the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Representative.
The only question that I have, and I do support the idea of reimbursing communities with PILT or an identical vehicle, the constitutional amendment is only good for 25 years, so I'm just wanting to make sure that we are having the appropriate balance when this blinks off, because I heard the chair talk about going into perpetuity. There would be the necessary funds to be able to do that once the legacy amendment is no longer part of the Constitution. Adopted in 08 would expire 25 years from there, but 33, something like that.
Chair Joskowski, any thoughts on that?
I'm wondering if you can repeat the question. I was digging through my notes from last year's fiscal notes, Madam Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll and Chair Joskowski, I also got a hold of it, too, so I'm good on my question. So, Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Joskowski, what I'm looking at is since the legacy amendment was only authorized by the people for 25 years in the Constitution, you had said that the funds would be available under perpetuity. Would there be enough money that would be in the trust fund to be able to accomplish the into perpetuity without a renewal or an extension of the constitutional amendment?
Chair Joskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair O'Driscoll. That's what we have built into the bill. We have, and maybe Ms. Dalton can describe it better than I, but the calculations are based on one time 30 times the amount of property taxes that would apply to that particular parcel. And the number crunched a lot in the last 2 years, and we looked at those again, and they seem to make a lot of sense. They're the best guesstimate or estimate, I guess, of what was needed, and it looks like and those payments come out each time that land is purchased from either the Outdoor Heritage Fund or the Environmental Trust Fund.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Joskowski. That's why I wanted to make sure that we wouldn't have an unfunded liability moving forward after the expiration should the people of the state of Minnesota, the legislature authorize for the people of the state of Minnesota to reconsider an extension or reauthorization of the constitutional amendment.
Okay. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this could either go to Chair Joskowski or somebody from House Research that can help me. Chair Joskowski, when did you request this fiscal note? When did that go through? Because there are times I'm just bedeviled as to when it was requested and when it's delivered, and I can see in the gutter of this, it's House File 586, second engrossment, state purchase land, but there's no time stamp on that. I'm wondering if I'm the only one that wonders when those go through and when they're requested, and if we could put a time stamp on there. Because, you know, as I said last week, and Representative Ward was nodding, we've all pitched bills where the fiscal note comes in as we're about to sit in the chair, and I'm just trying to figure out, is there a more streamlined way to do this?
Chair Joskowski, were you the one that asked for it, or did I ask for it through Ms. Roberts? I'm trying to remember.
Madam Chair and members, the original fiscal note on this was requested by the Environment Committee, and I can go back and look. I can actually see in the system when that was requested. And then when the bill was amended, and so we had a new engrossment, what we do then is usually if there's any substantial changes, try to request a new fiscal note so that we're always asking or looking at the most current engrossment. And I did request that one last week. It may have been so there wasn't a lot of time between when I requested it and this hearing.
Okay. Representative Nash?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's good for now.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Joskowski, the concerns still remain apparently about the constitutionality of using legacy funds for pill payments. Is that correct? That hasn't been resolved yet?
Representative Joskowski, Chair Joskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Johnson, there are going to be some opponents of this that are going to assert that, and I passed out to you an Attorney General's memo that is not an opinion because the Attorney General doesn't do opinions on things that haven't happened yet. But she points out in there that it's not an opinion. And I think Mr. Sulem can address that part more. But we don't know at this point for certain. But I think many of us believe that indeed this is constitutional. It's a cost accrued to the decision to use the funds for a certain purpose. In this case, the purpose is to buy land, and in the bill you will find very clearly that the intent is that the counties and the townships, and it's limited, by the way, to only certain governments. It doesn't apply to schools, but it applies to counties and townships and some other special local governments that relate to the management of the land, so extending roads to that land and maintaining them and fences and other things would be the types of costs that the counties and the townships can use the money for.
Representative Johnson.
I think, Madam Chair, and maybe, too, this is to the gentleman who looks like he's going to possibly testify. If one of the interest groups brought suit on this. Is that the way constitutionality would be tested? They'd bring a suit to court if this legislation passed and became law, if they wanted to pursue that line of interest? And if so, who would defend? Would it be the Attorney General? Would they be defending? Would the state be defending whatever it is we passed?
Mr. Sillam, do you have your lawyer hat on today?
Madam Chair, yes. Iverson Johnson, that's exactly what happened. If there's a challenge, the Attorney General is required to defend any legislation passed by the legislature in the name of the state so that there could be a suit brought. I can tell you that we have very carefully worked on this bill, looking at the guidelines of the constitutional amendment, looking at some of the case law and history cited in the letter. And again, it's not an AG opinion. It's simply a letter saying we don't do opinions that are hypothetical. We've walked through to make sure that we set this up as a supplement to the existing program that is going for costs that are directly related to providing what the acquisition of land is meant to provide in terms of enhanced protective service, you know, the stuff that's required by the constitutional amendment. If you're going to use that to justify the land purchase, this is a part of providing those services. So we're quite confident, like any other law, if somebody wants to bring a suit, they can bring a suit, but the AG would be required to defend.
All right, Representative Chair Drazkowski, do you want to wrap it up?
That's about it in a nutshell, Madam Chair.
I'm going to pause you, Representative Lilly.
Madam Chair, I don't want to interrupt a mid-sentence, but I didn't know you were going to closing out the bill, so I thought we were still hearing testimony. I do have questions, though, if we...
You raise a good point, Representative Lilly. Is there anybody else that wishes to testify to this bill? Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Drazkowski. You kind of know where I'm at on this one. It's, you know, I've heard it in other committees and in Legacy. I think I told you there, and, you know, I think when we, as a body, when we pass this constitutional amendment, we, you know, it's not a perfect document that we send to the voters. But I would argue that it is, it's not what we intended as a body. We missed the ball on this one, in your case, with the PILT. And I'm sympathetic to some of the jurisdictions that are maybe not completely whole. But it's not as easy as you're making it sound to fix. But I know, well, that's not a fair thing to say. But it's a very complicated thing, and you are embracing it and trying to solve a complicated problem. So to your credit. I mean that sincerely. I think when it goes back to the voters next time, and that's kind of in my mind with part of what Chair O'Driscoll might be talking about 25 years when this is, you know, when, not 25 years, but when this thing's done, you know, it might be different. We might do the PILT thing, but and probably should. But that isn't what we passed, and I don't think it meets the bar on the constitutionality, and we don't know, because the opinion was just an opinion, and it was speculation. So your comments on that are 100% correct, as far as we don't really know. To Representative Johnson's point, it's one of the stakeholders, or somebody probably could take it to court at that point, and then we'd figure out who. I'd actually be kind of curious to see what happened, to be honest, because there's many issues on this legacy, you know, with supplanting and on, you know, with the, you know, just kind of a minefield of what, you know, how the funding's worked. But anyways, I don't know what your, I have a question on page 6, on 6.5 to 6.14, so you're kind of taking this a step. Are you just totally locked down on that, or would you be open to removing that section to about the? Because really, what you're doing is you're shutting down buying any land. So, or how am I to interpret that other than what you're saying? So, I think the voters really did expect that we'd probably vote, or that we would buy some land. I had someone send me an interesting article from Park Rapids, and I don't know who. But it's interesting. State rep up there asked the voters, what, hey, what do you think? You know, do you okay with us buying land? And the comments from the crowd, this is from the paper, I wasn't there. So, but the paper said that, yeah, we want to buy stuff. We want to, you know, invest in buying some land to get onto. But anyways, could you speak to lines 6.5 and that section? I'm sure you know what I mean. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Lilly. And actually, that appears twice in here, members, because we are talking about two parts of the bill. The first part of the bill deals with the Outdoor Heritage Fund or the legacy money, and the second bill, part of the bill kind of replicates the language for the LCCMR Fund or the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund. But what it says, members, basically, is if a court finds this approach to be unconstitutional, we wouldn't be allowed to buy more land at this point. And the reason, Representative Lilly, for that is because we need to look out for the property taxpayers in Minnesota, that they're continuing to get more and more burden placed upon them. Because what happens, as we all know, when a piece of land becomes exempt from property taxes, the people around them have to pay a higher property tax in order to provide for those services. Now, we do provide PILT for some of them, and some of them it's not enough or the right amount, and some of them may not receive PILT. So that's the concern here, is to look out for the property taxpayers and the taxpayers of Minnesota generally who contribute to the general fund, who, again, did not anticipate when 55.99% of the people back in 2008 voted for to restore, enhance, and protect our land. They didn't vote for a tax increase, and so that's what we're attempting to protect here with this language.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, that's certainly an opinion, but you know, we did hear compelling testimony, I thought, from the DNR, and just how complicated some of those PILTs are, and many of the counties and local jurisdictions are getting you know, all sorts of revenue and different formulas. It's pretty complicated. So that's cool. It speaks to what I said. You know, you are taking on a very complicated issue. And I think ultimately my bottom line is that, you know, we screwed up as a body when we sent this to the voters. And, you know, so I don't think this is the right way to go. But, you know, we made a mistake when we sent it to the voters. We can fix that when we pass it next time. And hopefully we do. To make people closer to whole, or, you know, and I know that my understanding is I serve on Lessard Sams, and that they're very aware that the counties that are feeling the pressure, you know, certain counties that, you know, enough is enough, and I think they're sympathetic to that, I think the future purchases will indicate that empathy, but anyways, you. I'm going to probably vote no on this. Big surprise.
Closing comments, Chair Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Lilly, just quickly, in your defense, and you were here when that language was put together, and I was not, but in your defense, you, like I and maybe many others, didn't anticipate we were going to be buying 10,000 or 11,000 acres of land per year with this money, and that's exactly what we're getting to with this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. With that, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 586 be referred to the Committee on Taxes. Thank you. Oh, and we have to take a vote. That's right. I'm so used to laying over. My apologies. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The bill goes to taxes next. Thanks, Chair Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair members.
Chair Gunther. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record, and you know what to do.
My name is Bob Gunther, State Representative, and I would believe this has got to go to Ways and Means. Is that correct?
It is. I'm going to move House File 1890 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Madam Chairman and members, House File 1890 creates a statutory appropriation for the legislators' salaries, taxes, and retirement contributions. In 2016, the constitutional amendment that removed lawmakers' power to set their own pay passed by 76.3 3.33%. The voters have overwhelmingly decided that the legislature should not determine their pay. This would appropriate the money prescribed by the Legislative Salary Council, which is required to issue a report by March 31st, 2017. At this point, we do not know what the salary amount will be. The council could lower, increase, keep our salary the same. House File 1890 ensures that whatever the amount that is prescribed, that amount is what the legislature will appropriate. In other words, this takes us out of finally voting for our salary increase or decrease, and that's what we want intended to do with the constitutional amendment, and that basically is a bill.
Okay. Members, any questions for Chair Gunther? Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify to this bill? Okay. With that, all those in favor of House File 1890 being referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. The bill moves on. And members, with that, we